access to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
We are to allow God's Word to remind us who we are, sinners saved by grace, and apart from God, we can do nothing. We're not to admire the image we see, but allow God's Word to cause us to do something about it, to be conformed to His image, not ours. The Word of God is like a mirror. It's showing us what we're like. And what good is a mirror if you look and see the problems and don't do anything about it? It's no value. And that's true with the Word of God. If you don't do anything about what God is showing you, then it's useless. It's no value. And here's the thing. The mirror doesn't lie, at least the mirror of God's Word, right? And I hate to say it, the mirror in my house doesn't lie either. I look in the mirror and go, man, who is that old guy in there? Oh, that's me. Wow, what happened, right? It doesn't lie. It just reflects who you are. And we can lie to ourselves on how good we look, but the mirror shows all our imperfections. Women, I guess, have these mirrors that have these bright lights on them to show all the imperfections so they can put the Bondo on. I don't think it's called Bondo, but you know what I mean, right? I used the illustration when I at Willow Creek, they were putting this huge expansion on, really high ceilings with all the beams, you know, exposed. And before they closed the big, huge windows they had there and got all the equipment out, they wanted them, the church people, to come in and look and see if there's any problems. And they came in one morning and they found this bright spotlight and they started shining it up at the ceiling. Oh my gosh, look, there's wires there and this is loose there. You could see that. And they're marking it down, row 3, seat 2, whatever. And they're going through and they had a whole list. Contractor came in and goes, did you find anything that was wrong? And like, oh yeah, man, we've got a whole list here. And he goes, wow, how'd you see that? So, well, we found this light here. We just shined it up there. He goes, oh, wait a minute. In the natural light, you don't see any of those imperfections. And isn't that true? When we compare ourselves to the world, we look really good, don't we? I mean, we look fine. The natural light makes us look great. And then the light of God's Word shines on us. We're like, oh my gosh. We see all the imperfections. Not for destruction does God show us these things, but to help us to grow, to mature, to build us up, to get rid of that garbage in our lives. There's a story from the last century that tells how a missionary out in the bush hung a small mirror in a tree so he could shave. And the local witch doctor happened by and was looking at this strange glass and looked at it and saw her hideously painted features, and she jumped back. And she began to bargain with the missionary for the mirror. And he didn't want to sell it. He needed it. But he finally gave in. And she took the mirror, threw it on the ground, broke it in pieces, shouting, there, it won't be making ugly faces at me anymore. We too have ways to deal with the mirror's truth. But our false ways don't work either. What do people do? I'm done with it. I'm getting rid of the Bible. I don't need this anymore. You just got rid of the only thing that is going to help you. You see? We try to break the mirror or move away from God's Word. We make excuses for not agreeing with God's Word. And there's all kinds of ways that we can remove ourselves from what's really needed. The Word of God applied to our lives. You see, it shows us who we are and what we need to do. And as you allow the Word of God with the Spirit of God to work in your life, He transforms your life. That's the amazing thing. Spurgeon put it like this. He said, certain preachers dream that it is their business to paint pretty pictures. But it is not so. We're not to design and sketch, but simply to give the reflection of truth. We are to hold up the mirror to nature in a moral and spiritual sense and let men see themselves therein. We have not even to make the mirror, but only to hold it up. The thoughts of God and not our own thoughts are to be set before our hearers' minds, and these discover a man to himself. The word of the Lord is a revealer of secrets. It shows a man his life, his thoughts, his heart, his inmost self. That's exactly it, guys. As a pastor, I am to shine the light of God's word like a mirror upon you so the Holy Spirit can show you what you need to do in your life. And again, it's not about condemnation. It's restoration. It's building us up in the faith. That's what God is doing. But for the carnal Christian, the immature Christian, they don't want to look or they refuse to change, and that's not a good thing, as we see here. This is the wrong example. Well, look at verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So here's the right example of how we can live out our faith. The mature Christian loves to come to church and hear God's word, not just for information, but for transformation. He loves to read God's word. The word of God is changing him, and that's what it's supposed to do. But again, we can harden our hearts to what the Holy Spirit is showing us, so we have to be careful. And, you know, James says that he is one who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. What James is saying is, look, the mature Christian looks into a mirror, the mirror of God's word, and when he sees something that needs to be changed in his life, he doesn't forget about it. He does something about it. And in the ancient Greek language, the word for looks into is speaking of a penetrating examination. It wasn't just a glance, a deep look, an intense look, a look that penetrates to the heart of the matter. A person who will stoop down in order to have a good look. And as we study God's word and we're to apply it to our lives, and it's not just a quick glance and then we're on the move. We search the scriptures and let them affect our lives by the power of God's Spirit. Look into God's word. Adam Clark talks about the word continues, and he says that this word speaks of a person who takes the time to see and examine the state of his soul, the grace of his God, the extent of his duty, and the height of the promised glory. The metaphor here is taken from those females who spend much time at their glass, looking in the mirror, in order that they may decorate themselves to the greatest advantage and not leave one hair or the smallest ornament out of its place. Exactly. I mean, how much time do we spend in front of the mirror, and how much time do we spend in front of the mirror of God's word? We could look very good outwardly. And I'm not saying, you know, don't take care of yourself. But how much time do we spend looking into God's word and drawing from it, looking at our own lives, what God is showing us and what we need to change? And in this perfect law of liberty that he's speaking of, it's speaking of the word of God, the new covenant. It's the law of liberty that is written upon our transformed hearts by the Spirit of God, not upon stone. Paul in Hebrews 10 said, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin." Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. Lord said, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." And this is simple. The perfect law of liberty is salvation by grace through faith, and that is what we have the Holy Spirit showing us. He comes inside of us. He gives us the freedom or liberty from self-effort. That was the Old Testament law, right? Do this, don't do that. But he's changing us by working from within us by his glorious power. You know, when we put on, you know, makeup and fix our hair and do all that, that's all outward, right? And then you go to bed at night and you get up in the morning and you go, "Oh my gosh, who just messed this stuff up? I used to have really, really long hair. I'm too lazy. When I used to get up in the morning, my hair was all over the place. I don't want to do that." But it's all outward and it changes, right? But when God works inwardly, it's manifested outwardly and it's lasting because God did the work. You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." You see, how are we changed? Are we changed or transformed by the law? No, but by the Spirit of the Lord, because the law is a mirror. It can't save us. It can't change us. It just shows us how far short we come to what God requires. And what does he require? Perfection. But what is the Lord doing? He's making us more like him. That's the sanctification process. So as you're reading God's word, you're applying God's word, you're becoming more like him. One day that process will be complete when we go to be with him. The work he began in you, Paul said, he will complete. And I'm so thankful for that. William MacDonald put it like this. He said, to the serious, mature Christian, the Bible is the perfect law of liberty. Its precepts are not burdensome. They tell him to do exactly what his new nature loves to do. As he obeys, he finds true freedom from human traditions and carnal reasonings. The truth makes him free. This is the man who benefits from the Bible. He does not forget what he has read. Rather, he seeks to live it out in daily practice. His simple childlike obedience brings incalculable blessing to his soul. This one will be blessed in what he does. Absolutely. Poole put it like this. He said, the whole doctrine of Scripture, or especially the gospel called a law in Romans 3:27, both as it is a rule and by reason of the power it hath over the heart, and a law of liberty because it shows us the way to the best liberty, freedom from sin, the bondage of ceremonial law and rigor of the moral, and from the wrath of God. Absolutely. And let me say this in regard to looking into the mirror of God's word, because as we do, we see Jesus, at least we should. You know, in Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan describes the magnificent mirror that the shepherds of the Delectable Mountain showed to Christiana and Mercy. And he said, now the glass was one of a thousand. It would present a man one way with his own features exactly, and turn it but another way, and it would show one the very face and similitude of the Prince of Pilgrims himself. Yea, I have talked with those that can tell, and have said they have seen the very crown of thorns upon his head by looking into this glass. They have therein also seen the holes in his hands, in his feet, and his side. The man who continues looking into the mirror of God's word sees in it things far more wonderful than his own face. He sees not only his filthy garments, not only the spots and stains on his life, he sees in it Christ, the Christ of the thorn-crowned brow, the Christ of the cross, his Savior, whose blood cleanses him from all sin. You see, Bunyan's point is this. When a person honestly and humbly looks into the Word of God, he sees two things, his own sin and the sinless Savior and Lord. And we then need to respond to Christ and live out his Word in our lives. And there's a blessing in doing that. The right example of what is being done in the life is simple. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. That's the right example. Look at verses 26 and 27. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So this is the last point. It deals with the evidence of our faith, how we're walking, what is manifested in our lives. Is there enough evidence to show that you are a Christian by the way you live, by the things you say? I know you can say, hey, I'm saved by grace. Yes, you are. But is the life of Christ being manifested in your life? Is that what people are seeing? You could say all kinds of things. But what about reality? What are people seeing in us? You know, James just explained that real religion is not shown by hearing the word, but by doing it. And here are just some examples of what it means to be a doer of the word, how we live out our faith. And religion is not shown by hearing the word of God, but by doing it with the right heart. And most of the time in the New Testament, when you look at this word religion, it's never used in a positive sense, always a negative one, because it's man's efforts to do something. You get your heart right with God first. You surrender to him, and his nature will flow from your lives. It becomes natural. When I was a lot younger, when I had graduated high school and I was living on my own out in Arizona, I played on a lot of softball teams, and it was a lot of fun. But here's the thing. I practiced and practiced and practiced. So when someone hit a ball, I didn't have to think a lot about it. My nature took over, and I knew exactly what to do. Working as a critical care nurse, when someone coded in the ICU, I didn't have to think about what I needed to do. What I had been trained, that nature responded. If someone's heart was just quivering and V-fib, I didn't get a bag mask to bag them, give them oxygen. Because it's not what they needed. They needed to get shocked. Put the pads on, hit the button, shock them. Everyone looked at me. They couldn't believe that's the first thing I would do. I said, that's what he needed. It came naturally to me because I had been trained in it. The same is true with the Word of God, isn't it? Do you really have to think a lot about it? When I was asked, you know, working with nurses, I worked the second shift a lot, they'd always ask, do you want to go out and get something to eat after work? Okay, working with nurses, 99% of the time it was with women. And I would never go out unless my wife was with me. They didn't understand it. But it was easy for me. It wasn't something I even had to think about. You know, I didn't have to go, well, you know, that's a good idea. You know, let me think about that. No. Why am I going to go out with women without my wife? That's foolishness. You see, this stuff shouldn't be something we have to think a lot about. It should just flow from our lives because we've taken in God's word so much that now it's just flowing from our lives. And the idea here with false religion is that it implies religious works and rituals, and people think they're righteous before God by them. You know, Paul in Colossians 2, verses 20 through 23 said, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. So these are, I guess what James is saying here, kind of reflect upon the hypocritical Jews, whose religion consisted so much in external observances, keeping them from ceremonial defilements, and yet had so many moral problems. And that was the issue. And he says, you know, he starts out with probably the hardest one, controlling the tongue, right? And James is going to deal with that in chapter 3 more, but, and we'll get to it more then. Great. You guys are probably looking at your calendars. Okay, when am I going to be absent? Let's see. You will never know. But here's the thing. If you can't control your tongue, where's your faith? It doesn't translate into the way you live, the way you treat others if you can't control your tongue. It's been estimated that the average person will speak some 18,000 words in a day, enough for a 54-page book. Wow. In a year, that amounts to some 800-page volumes. Up to one-fifth of the average person's life is spent talking. I know, you're thinking mine is way over that. Okay, I'm helping the curve, I guess, the wrong way. But no wonder it's hard to control the tongue, right? What did James say? Be slow to speak and quick to hear what God is saying to us and how we respond to others. Anyone who uses their tongue to rip others apart and destroy reputations and then goes to church and thinks their religious affiliation makes them right with God, James says, you've been deceived. Your religion is worthless. Well, from there, James says, you know, if you really are living out your faith, walking with God, you're going to desire to help those in need. And the big thing is, well, what about me? And that's a big thing in the church today, self. But I'll tell you this, and I'll just tell you from my own personal experiences. The more I'm exhausted, the more I have to minister to someone. If I'm obedient, the Lord takes care of the rest. I don't know how he does it. I don't have to know. He just does. You see, God will give you what you need. And this is not religious rituals here. This is the right kind of living. If God is on the throne of your life, if his spirit is guiding you, then you will have the nature of Jesus flowing from your life. Remember the story of Lot? He's a good example of a person who didn't keep himself unspotted. He saw the beauty of Sodom, and he coveted the land of Sodom, and he took it for himself. In Genesis 13:13, we're told that the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. This is where he chose to live, him and his family. So he saw Sodom, he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and before long he was sitting at the gates of Sodom. He was an elder in the city. And Peter says in 2 Peter 2, verses 7 through 8, and this is from the Amplified Bible, and he rescued righteous Lot, greatly worn out and distressed by the wanton ways of the ungodly and lawless. For the just man living there among them tortured his righteous soul every day with what he saw and heard of their unlawful and wicked deeds. You see, the end result is that Lot lost everything, and he was saved as the angels had to drag him out of the city before the Lord brought judgment upon Sodom and the surrounding cities for their wickedness. In fact, he lived such a contradictory lifestyle that when he tried to tell his son-in-laws of the coming judgment, they laughed at him and they perished. They didn't listen. God desires us to be obedient to his word, and it's reflected then in our actions, the things we do. He desires to give us good gifts from above and don't settle on the evil that is from below. It's not always easy. That's why we need God. That's why we need his spirit working in our lives, helping us to live accordingly. Let the word of God, enlightened by the spirit of God, cause us to walk accordingly. The evidence for our faith is what people are looking for. They are watching us. I don't care where you're at. I don't care if you're in the grocery store or if you're at work. People are watching you. And if they know that you know, go to church, what are they seeing in you? I can't tell you, my mom, I didn't think, I couldn't talk to her anymore about the Lord because, well, my dad, when I first got saved, I was pretty blunt about my faith. And my dad said, never again in this house will you talk about Jesus. That's it. You're done. And I obeyed him. But here's the thing. It didn't stop him from watching us. And it was driven home very, very deeply when my wife asked my mom, this is years ago when we were back in Chicago, to come to a women's luncheon that Calvary Chapel Elk Grove was putting on. And there were a lot of moms there that weren't saved. And they started talking about Calvary Chapel and kind of slamming it a little bit. And my mom said, hey, wait a minute. She said, I've watched my son and my daughter-in-law, and I've seen the changes in their life. So don't put down Calvary Chapel. Something's happening here. And I thought, wow, what a powerful witness of Jesus, And this, my mom, believe me, didn't have a clue that she was even watching us, that she even cared. She did. So I don't care how much you feel this person is not, cares or doesn't care, live out your faith. Let people see what the Lord is doing in your life. The evidence of our faith. Remember our opening story as I closed this morning, of the head of the business going to Europe to start up his business and leaving someone in charge here to run the business, right? The boss would send letters letting him know what he was going to do, all that he wanted done. And when he came back from Europe, the place was a mess. All the letters that were sent, you think, well, what happened to them? Remember what we were told? Letters, oh yeah, sure, got every one of them. As a matter of fact, we have a letter study every Friday night since you left. We have even divided all the personnel into small groups and discussed many of the things you wrote. Some of those things were really interesting. You'd be pleased to know that a few of us have actually committed to memory some of your sentences and paragraphs. One or two memorized an entire letter or two. Great stuff in those letters. Okay, you got my letters. You studied them and meditated on them, discussed and even memorized them. But what'd you do about them? We didn't do anything about them. My prayer, guys, is that would not be our answer, that we would be obedient to the word of God, to live what we say we believe because we love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and true faith is seen, that we would take these lessons, apply them to our lives, and as we read God's word, we'd be like, Lord, show me what you have for me this morning or this afternoon or this evening, whenever you're reading God's word. What do you have for me? Because he will show you. Yeah, but I'm in, Joshua right now, and I don't know what he's going to show me in that book. The Holy Spirit will show you the lessons that he has for you. Make no mistake about it. God didn't put books in the Bible as filler to make it longer. He put it in there for a reason, for us to learn and grow by. May we take heed. May we be obedient to the word, not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word also. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning, Lord. What an encouragement. That you never give up on us, Lord, that you continually work in our lives. You want us to grow. You want us to mature in the faith. And we thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, help us to be examples to others, that we truly believe your word and we live it. But Lord, it's got to be by your Spirit working in us, because we can never have these things manifested in our lives by our own efforts. Yeah, we may accomplish it for a time or two, but the reality is we need transformation in our lives. We need your Spirit working in us so that you may work through us. And we thank you for that, Lord. Help us to surrender all areas of our life to you so people can see Jesus in us. We need to decrease so that he can increase. Thank you, Lord. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with his sustaining word.